Spent a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. This long, strange, warm fall is now finally coming to an end. We're about a week away from frost, and we're looking forward to that, though some people, gardeners especially, wish there would be just one more week of warm weather. But everybody is always wishing for one more week of something. And eventually you must come to the end of it, which we're glad for, because this warm weather in the fall, Lutherans are about 5 degrees off plumb somehow in weather like this. And they have strange dreams and very realistic dreams, and they get up and they throw away stuff that you never would imagine they would throw away, and you find their possessions out there on the curb as if they were taking scripture literally, and furniture out there and books and clothing, and they're giving it. They're giving it away, and you remonstrate with them, and they don't seem to hear what you have to say. There was a wedding at the Lutheran church. We didn't really know the bride and groom. There were some relatives of the Tollefsons, and it was high church, and they had found a Lutheran pastor in Minneapolis who knew how to work with incense and swing a censer, And there were martinis served at a cocktail party afterward, and there was porterhouse steak and tuxedos. It was such an interesting event. We weren't invited, but we went anyway. People were watching. It was like a movie. The parents of the bride had a mishap at a motel in St. Cloud, out on Highway 10. And word gets around in small towns when something interesting happens. They were both bandaged, both of them. They were bandaged from having been struck by a ceiling mirror. It fell off the ceiling of the Romeo Motel. And they had been in the jacuzzi, the two of them. And they had turned on a switch, and the vibrations set the mirror loose, and it fell on them. And for some reason, they kept on doing what they had been doing. And people talked of nothing else, even though we didn't know exactly what had happened, but we could easily guess. No, it's warm. It's been in the 70s, and that's just too much for the month of October. Now we're getting ready to go back to normal. But it was very strange. And then the combination of that and the lunar eclipse, it was a memorable week. Reminded me of a week back in 1953. And it was also warm, and there was an eclipse that year, and it was the year that my grandpa was convinced that the rapture was about to take place. We were sanctified brethren, and we grew up with prophecy, and so we read scripture very, very closely, and we expected the second coming to be imminent, and we were watching for signs of it. He certainly was. And he saw three words from a verse in the book of Hosea, and the three words appeared on three different consecutive billboards on Highway 7. And the words were, "Who shall come?" And they were on three separate billboards on Highway 7. And 7 is the scriptural symbol of perfection. And so it just all added up for Grandpa. And he was expecting Jesus to come imminently. This was at the same time as my Uncle Earl had secretly bought a television set. Brethren did not own television sets because they showed movies, and so they were corrupted by Hollywood, and we were not supposed to have one. But Uncle Earl was a major University of Minnesota Gophers football fan, and he kept one in his closet, and he brought it out only on Saturdays, and he watched the game, and it was a big game. Minnesota was playing the Wisconsin Badgers, and Grandpa was convinced that the second coming was just about to take place, and he came over to Earl's house to warn him, and it was in the third quarter of the game. I know because I was there. And Minnesota was down on the Wisconsin 20-yard line, and they had fourth down and inches to go. And Uncle Earl was beside himself, and he was yelling, "Go for it!" He said, "Go, go!" As Grandpa came in, Grandpa was looking for the Lord to come, and Grandpa saw Uncle Earl standing in front of the TV, and the TV cast this bright glow all around him like an aura. And Grandpa yelled, "Praise the Lord!" And he assumed that Uncle Earl was just about to be translated into paradise. And he ran up and he grabbed him and he tackled him from behind. And the Gophers went for it with inches to go, and they got a first down, and Uncle Earl was overjoyed. But then Grandpa looked up and saw that it was just television. It was just television. Uncle Earl said, it's not my TV. I'm just trying it out. I haven't bought it or anything. I'm just looking at it." Grandpa was so disappointed. He had been expecting to be in God's presence in paradise, and here he was just watching television. And this led Grandpa to accept television then, since it was nothing. It was nothing compared to the glory that awaited him in paradise. And he became a big fan of a daytime TV show called Light on Dark Corners. And he watched it every day. And he got very involved with that family, Bob and Betty and Lois and Lewis, their children. And they became like his family. He became very closer to them than he was to us. He followed them week after week until the end of his life. And when he came down to the end of his life, we sat around his bedside and we made up stories about Bob and Betty and Lois and Lewis and how they had come to the Lord and they accepted the Lord as their Savior just to make Grandpa feel better. They were interesting people. They had their problems and their difficulties. But in the end, they were saved, and that's all that mattered to Grandpa. All this comes back to me, you see, when it's a warm, humid month of October, and it's a memory I would be very happy to get rid of, which I will next week. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.